Amos and Andy Show, transcribed, written by Joe Connolly and Bob Mosier, featuring Ernestine Wade, Johnny Lee, Amanda Randolph, Sarah Selby, Jeff Alexander's music, yours truly, Harlow Wilcox, and starring radio's all-time favorites, Freeman Gosden and Charles Correll. Amos and Andy!
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? I am Freeman Gosden. My partner, Charles Correll, and I want to remind you that you can help strengthen the president's hand as he strives for peace and prosperity for the free world. Take a personal part in the battle for men's minds, the all-important effort to stem the tide of communism without war. Do it by backing Radio Free Europe. This hard-hitting, independently operated American enterprise pierces the Iron Curtain with programs of truth, hope, and encouragement for 70 million captive people. It blasts communist lies about America and the free world. It helps freedom-hungry people resist the mental and physical shackles imposed by their communist overlords. It makes its eager listeners in Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, Romania, Bulgaria, our firm and faithful friends. Back Radio Free Europe with your dollars, your truth dollars. Mail all you can afford to Crusade for Freedom, care of your local postmaster. It's a solid investment for the kind of a world we all want.
When the kingfish got home this evening, he found his wife Sapphire and her mother waiting for him in the living room with a rather startling bit of news.
George, me and Mama went out today and got you a job.
Yes, son-in-law. What do you got to say to that?
Well, as the caddy said when the golf ball hit him in the mouth, this thing is pretty hard to swallow.
Yes, George, we went out to the employment agency and signed you up.
At least I hope is that you got me an executive job.
It's in a flower shop delivering flowers.
Now, wait a minute.
Now, look, George, you ain't getting out of it. Here's the card the employment agency give us. You reports to the proprietor of the flower shop tomorrow evening. Now, here's his name right here on the card. V.R. Thompson. They're busy and they need somebody to help out nights.
Holy mackerel, me in a flower shop. Don't you realize what this will do to me? Working among all them sweet-smelling flowers all day?
What do you mean, George?
Well, look at the boys I play cards with. Tom works in the glue factory. Fred is over at the stockyards. Peter's in the tannery. And good old Lenny is second mate on a garbage scow. Tell you, if I comes in there smelling like a petunia, I'm going to be ostracized from my social set.
You've been at that flower shop for a week now, Kingfish. How you doing?
Well, Andy, I was catching on. Of course, the first day I didn't know a palpitating hibiscus from a night blooming sciatica.
Well, delivering flowers, you must have to do a lot of walking. How's your feet holding up?
Well, not so good. My arches has done dropped and my feet has done really flattened out on me.
Yes, huh?
In the morning, instead of using a shoehorn, I has to ease them into my shoes with a pancake turner.
Yeah, it's funny how employment always settles in your feet.
Well, Andy, the job in the flower shop ain't so bad if it wasn't for my hay fever.
Oh, that's really giving you trouble, huh?
Oh, I tell you, Andy, oh, that hay fever killed me, boy. Every time I go out to deliver, my eyes really waters up on me.
Do, huh?
Well, now, well, look here. I had to deliver some flowers to a funeral over in Jersey yesterday. Mm-hmm. I got there just as the services was over and was crying so much that the undertaker took one look at me and put me in the first carriage. I finally wound up on the outskirts of Hoboken crying over a grave of a total stranger.
Yeah, man, that's bad, being algebraic to flowers and everything. Yeah. Tell me something. What kind of bosses you got at that flower shop?
Well, now, that is the only nice thing about the job, Andy. She happens to be a very nice young gal.
Gal? I thought V.R. Thompson was a man. I didn't know she was of the feline gender.
Her name is Valerie Roberta Thompson, Andy. Hmm. Yeah, she's really a beautiful gal. She got a beautiful face and form, Ender. When I look at her, I think of the figurehead on the bow of a graceful clipper ship. And then, son, I goes home and looks at Sapphire. And for the first time in my life, I realizes it's a long way from the bow to the poop deck.
Tell me this. What does Sapphire think about you working for a beautiful gal?
Well, I don't know, Andy. I ain't mentioned it to her.
Yeah, but ain't Sapphire going to be jealous when she finds it out?
Listen, I ain't the philandering type. The last time I had my arm around a woman was when I was a volunteer fireman and the old lady's home burned down. I...
Mama, ain't it nice the stores is open tonight? We got most of our shopping done.
Yes, daughter. But this ain't the way home. What we doing over here on the boulevard?
Well, Mama, I thought we'd stop in the flower shop to see George. I'd like to meet Mr. Thompson.
All right, all right.
You know, Mama, George is so interested in this job. Why, he goes to work early and he's worked late every night this week.
You ask me, there's some angle to it. There's always some kind of cheese to attract a rat. Cheese to attract a rat.
Oh, now, Mama, here we are. V.R. Thompson, florist. Come on, let's go in.
Can I help you?
Yes, we'd like to speak to Mr. Stevens.
Mr. Stevens? Oh, you mean George.
Daughter, I think we found the Liederkranz.
I think he's in back. I'll call him. Oh, Georgie.
Georgie?
I guess he's out.
Tell me, miss, do you, work here?
Well, I own the shop. I'm Miss Thompson. Would you care to leave a message for George?
Message? No. Just tell George that a couple of old friends stopped by.
Well, as soon as Georgie gets back, I'll tell him you two sweet old ladies were here.
Huh?
Come on, Mama. Mama, V.R. Thompson is a woman. You don't think that's why George has been working late in the flower shop?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Sapphire. That fathead better stick the water in his petunias or he's going to wind up with a lily on his chest.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? I'm Charles Correll. Cerebral palsy. Two words terrible enough to strike fear into the hearts of parents. You know, recently, children born with cerebral palsy, and in the United States this occurs once every 55 minutes, were doomed to live a life apart from other children, slated to become a burden to their community and themselves. Today, slowly but surely, that picture is being changed. Through the program of treatment and other care of United Cerebral Palsy, the cerebral palsied can overcome many of the handicaps of the dread crippler. This program, which has brought hope to thousands of children and adults across the nation, needs your help to continue. Your help in the form of dollars. With proper care and treatment, a substantial number of the cerebral palsied may learn to use their limbs. My partner Freeman Gosden joins me in asking you to contribute to this great work. Your help is urgently needed. Please send your donation. Send whatever you can to United Cerebral Palsy, care of your local postmaster.
George Stevens, you got to quit that job.
Now you listen. I ain't quitting that job at the flower shop.
Oh, we know what you're up to, you mangy old timber wolf. That woman over there saying, Georgie, oh, Georgie. Huh!
Now, wait a minute, Joe. You was the one that got me the job in the first place. Now, don't blame me for all this.
Well, we never would have if we'd have known V.R. Thompson was a young girl.
Well, now, look, at my age, I ain't the type to look at young girls.
Sapphire, when it comes to men, there ain't no age they stops eyeing the young girls. That's why they got shades on a hearse.
Now, listen, girl. I ain't got no interest in the gal. You got the job for me, and I ain't quitting. Now, don't blame me if it backfired on you. Now, out of my way, women. I got to get to work.
Oh, Mama, what am I going to do?
Daughter, in a case like this, you got to fight fire with fire. Make him jealous. Pretend you's interested in another man.
Oh, but, Mama, I couldn't do that. And anyhow, I don't know no other man.
Well, we got to find somebody. Any man will do... Oh. Wait a minute. I just thought about the perfect man. That big fat friend of his, Andy Brown. You have him up here for supper while George is working, and that'll start people talking.
But, Mama, Andy is so uncouth, so crude and boring, with such terrible table manners. Why, he's repulsive.
Well, there you is, daughter. It'll be just like George ain't never left the house.
Oh, boy, it sure is lonely around the lodge hall with the kingfish working. I wish I could do something.
Anybody here?
Oh, no. The kingfish is working, Miss Stevens.
Oh, I know that. I came to talk to you, Andy.
Yeah. Well, what can I do for you, Miss Stevens?
Oh, no, Andy, not Mrs. Stevens. Call me what George calls me.
You mean right to your face? you mean Sapphire. Yeah. What can I do for you, Sapphire?
Well, Andy, I just dropped by to invite you up to supper tonight.
Supper tonight?
Yes, Andy. I'm having a wonderful supper. Wild rice and roast duck.
Well, I guess I could make it.
Oh, fine. Shall we say about 7-ish?
Well, I think we better say about 7:15-ish. I got to iron out a shirt.
Daughter, in that strapless evening gown, you is positively a knockout.
Oh, Mama.
Listen, Mama, you think George will find out about the dinner and be jealous?
Oh, look here, daughter. I done set the table right here by the window.
Oh.
The shades is up, and old nosy Mrs. Cartwright across the court just can't help noticing what's going on. That old gossip will spread it all over town.
Oh, Mama, there's the buzzer. That's Andy now.
Yeah. Oh, well, fine, daughter. I'll duck out to a movie by the back way so you'll be here alone.
All right, Mama. Oh, it's you, Andy. Darling, do come in.
Yeah, well, evening, Sapphire. I want, excuse me. I didn't mean to bust in while you were still in your camisole.
Oh, no, Andy. This is a new gown. My dressmaker made it.
Yeah, too bad you didn't have time to finish the thing. But I guess if the kingfish likes it, why, it's all right.
Well, won't you sit down, Andy? Dinner'll be ready in a few minutes.
Oh, fine. Yeah. Say, Sapphire, I just noticed in there, there's only two places at the table. Ain't you going to eat with me and the kingfish?
Oh, George is working tonight, Andy.
Where's your mama?
Why, Mama went to the movies.
You mean there ain't nobody up here except you, me, and the roast duck?
That's right, Andy.
Sapphire, I think I better get going. According to Emily Post, the duck ain't much of a chaperone. Special a dead one.
Oh, now, Andy. George will be here later.
Well, okay, I guess it's all right.
Oh, of course it is. Now, you sit right here by the window, Andy. Now, that's it, right by the light. Mm-hmm. Now, Andy, let me pass you an appetizer.
Yeah. Wait a minute. These crackers has got worms on them.
Andy, them is anchovies.
I don't care who they belong to. I ain't going to eat them.
just sit there. I'll go get the soup.
Yeah, Sapphire, listen, before you get the soup, would you mind pulling that shade down there? I got a feeling we is being watched from across the court there.
Oh, Andy, there ain't nobody lives there but old Mrs. Cartwright.
Yeah, but look at that window shade. There's an eyeball peeking out the right side of it. And there's an eyeball peeking out the left side of it. Either she done called in a neighbor, or that Mrs. Cartwright has got a head 4 feet wide.
Now, Andy, don't pay no attention. I'll be right back.
Well, well, Sapphire, that certainly was a nice supper. But it's getting late, you know, and I better be going.
Oh, no hurry, Andy, no hurry. Now, you just sit here by the window in this easy chair. I'll sit on the arm here and we'll talk.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll wait a little longer for the kingfish. Yeah, let me put my cigar here in the ashtray.
Oh, here you are. That's right, now make yourself comfortable. You know, Andy, you is George's best friend, but I never got to know you real well. Don't you think that when two people has been married as long as me and George, sometimes they drifts apart until the attraction they once had for each other is all a part of the dim past? Don't you think this occurs in many instances? Don't you think so, Andy? Some lover boy. I wanted a Romeo, and I wound up with a Rip Van Winkle.
Sapphire and her mama must have gone to bed. Huh. Well, I got them two old gals where I want them. Begging me to quit the job, boy, I tell you. Well, the table is set here by the window. Candlesticks on it. Duck bones. I guess she and Mama had dinner here tonight. Wait a minute, though. What's this cigar here in the ashtray? Couldn't be Mama's, because this is a Philadelphia stogie and Mama's partial to white owls. Well, maybe the old walrus switched her brand. I don't know. Good morning, Mr. Nice of the Sea Lodge Hall. George Kingfish Stevens speaking. Who is this? A nameless neighbor. My wife? With a what? With a who? With a where? Hey, wait a minute, who is this? Hello? Well, they done hung up. Holy mackerel. The nameless friends say a man was up at my apartment last night. That cigar. And the table set for two. I gonna find out who it was and kill him. I gonna kill him dead. How could a fella do this to me? Sneaking up and having dinner with my wife while I was out. How could he do this to me with duck at $1.25 a pound? I ain't gonna...
The United States Air Force faces today the most serious problem in its history, the problem of supplying trained men to our global Air Force that has to be at peak efficiency 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The U.S. Air Force is charged with the prime responsibility of defending the continental United States against air attack, and it must be ready at a moment's notice to retaliate with devastating effect against the homeland of any aggressor. During the next 12 months, 200,000 first-term enlistments will expire. These men enlisted at the time of the Korean invasion, and many of them are not career-minded and will need to be replaced. Young men have a definite advantage in an Air Force career because it offers many opportunities for travel, education, adventure, and security. In the Air Force, you can learn many skills that will qualify you for a specialist job with correspondingly advanced pay and will qualify you in civilian life as well. When you join the Air Force, you join the young man's team, and they need you now. See your local recruiting station for further information.
Yes, Calhoun, that is the whole sad story. When I went out working last night, my wife invited a stranger up to the apartment. She cooked a big supper for him. Wild rice, roast duck, strawberry shortcake for dessert. And then after dinner, she sat on the arm of his chair and whispered sweet nothings into his ear. How you like that, Calhoun? My wife inviting a man up to dinner and doing all that while I was working.
That is some. Kingfish, there's just one more question I want to ask about this whole mess.
What is that, Calhoun, old pal?
When is the next night you working late?
Now listen, Calhoun, this ain't no time for joviality. Yeah, I've got to find this foul fiend that ultra-violated the sanctity of my home.
You say a nameless neighbor done called up and tipped you off this morning, huh?
Yeah.
Then the neighbor knows who the fella is, but they ain't gonna tell you. What you gotta do is get somebody to snoop around the neighborhood and find out the man's name. Some real crafty sneak.
Some sneak?
Yeah.
That's a great idea, Calhoun. When can you do it?
I can leave right now.
Fine. Now, look here. Meanwhile, I'll get my old pal Andy over at the lodge hall here and see if he got any angles on who this double-crosser could be. Oh, me. Out of all the women's in New York, why would this fella get interested in Sapphire?
Well, that's the way it is in life, Kingfish. An attraction like that is one of the mysteries of nature. There's a certain spark, a certain magnetism, you know, a certain fascination.
Yeah, I know that, but what would draw this man to Sapphire? She ain't much to look at.
Neither is a hippopotamus, but at the zoo, they always draw the biggest crowd.
Yeah. Oh, me, when I find out who this fella is, I really gonna tear him to bits. I gonna take something.
Well,
out.
Here I is, Kingfish. Here
yeah,
I is.
Well, I see you brung the stuff I phoned you about, Andy, old pal.
Oh, yeah. Lee, I don't know what this is all about, Kingfish, but I got the stuff all here in this box. Here's the .38 pistol that I got the permit for when the burglars was in the neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
Brass knuckles, lead pipe, the 2x4 with the nail in the end.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Andy. I needs this stuff. Yeah, I'm going after somebody, boy, and when I find this fella, I'm going to tear him to pieces.
Oh, hot dog. This sounds like fun. Yeah, good idea is to wing the poor boob with the pistol and then go to work with him with the lead pipe. Who is the poor sap?
Well, I'm waiting now for a call from Calhoun to find out who he is, you see.
Oh, that's fine. Listen, I'll sit down and wait with you. I want to be here when the slaughter starts.
Yeah.
What'd he do to you anyway, Kingfish?
Well, Andy, this homewrecker, this fiend, do you know what he done?
No, what?
Like a thief in the night. Like a dirty thief in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
He come into my home, and he done tampered with my most precious possession.
Holy mackerel, Kingfish. You mean he done broke your television set?
Oh, no, Andy. While I was working late last night, this homewrecker come up and had dinner with my wife. And then, say, Andy, you were smoking a cigar a minute ago. What done happened to it?
Yeah. I gotta stop smoking these slippery cigars. Every time I inhales, I swallows the thing. oh, me. Kingfish, let me ask you a question here.
What is it, Andy, old pal?
This fella that you and me is waiting here so jolly, jolly to beat the daylights out of, he done had dinner with your wife last night?
Right.
Well, like Napoleon say at Waterloo, what wouldn't I give to be in Peoria on a night like this?
Andy, I'm glad you're here. When I find this fella, the first thing I'm going to do is take the lead pipe.
Yeah.
I'm going to bash you. I'm going to... Oh, wait a minute, let me get to... hello? Yeah, this is the Kingfish. Can't quite hear you. Oh, hiya, Calhoun. Oh, you did, huh? Well, great work. Who is he? Who? Spell it out. I say, spell it out. We got a bad disconnection. Spell it out. I can't hear you. What's that? B as in bum. R as in rat. O as in other man. W as in weasel. and end like he's nearer than I think he was. thank you, Calhoun. I'll figure this mess out. Thank you. B-R-O-W. Give me my gun here. Stand where you are.
Wait a minute, King.
No, wait a minute. So you was the one that snuck up in my place and had dinner with my wife last night?
No, now, wait a minute, Kingfish. I thought that you was going to be there. I was just as innocent as a little lamb that lost his way.
Well, I'll teach you to whiff and poofing around my way.
Now, listen, Kingfish, put down that lead pipe, will you? This is ridiculous. The last person in the whole world I'd be interested in is your wife.
Oh, so she ain't good enough for you, huh? I'll teach you, you monster.
Now, hold it, Kingfish. Hold it.
Say, wait a minute here. What in the world is you two fellas up to?
Amos, while I was out working last night, this sneak went up and had dinner with my wife.
I did not, Amos. Listen, Sapphire invited me. I thought the Kingfish was going to be there.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, Kingfish and Andy. Now, listen, Kingfish. If you was working and Sapphire invited Andy up to dinner, there must have been some reason for it.
Yeah, Kingfish, Amos is right.
Well, now, wait a minute, Sheriff. I guess you're right. Yeah, see, she been jealous of me and that Miss Thompson at the flower shop. I'll bet she done this to pay me back to make me jealous.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, well, what is he going to do, Kingfish? What I going to do? I was moving out of the house. I'll teach them to pull this on me. They was the ones that got me the job.
Yeah, that's the stuff, Kingfish.
Yeah, by the way, Andy, take this.
Ow! Kingfish, what do you cock me on the head with that lead pipe for?
For eating all that duck, you big fat pig.
George, you just has to quit your job and come back here to the apartment.
Well, this is something. Asking me to give up a job, nip my career in the bud, give up good money.
Well, George, you don't have to worry about the money. Mama has agreed to give us $50 a week if you'll stop working with that young girl.
You mean to say your mama is making an offer to support me? Wait a minute, Chair. At a time like this, a man's got to be big. So I'll do the manly thing. I'll quit the job tomorrow.
George, that's wonderful of you. We'll never make you go to work again as long as you live.
All right, but I hope you realize what I has given up. I has given up the chance of a lifetime.
I'll get the phone. I'll get it in the bedroom.
Oh, George, just think. You giving up this wonderful job for my sake.
Yeah, I resign tomorrow. And remember, Sapphire, I've given up the chance of a lifetime for you. I has given up the...
Son-in-law.
What do you want?
Take this!
Oh!
Mama, you hit George on the head with a vase. Why?
That was the flower shop on the phone. This bum was fired for inefficiency 10 days ago.
Hit him again, Mama.
I will.
This is Harlow Wilcox again, reminding you to listen to this CBS radio station each evening, Monday through Friday, for the Amos and Andy Music Hall. It's Amos and Andy at their very best, plus interviews with famous guests and lots of good popular music. Your local newspaper will give you the time of the Amos and Andy Music Hall. So remember to tune in and enjoy the fun and music and laugh with Amos and Andy.
Yes, that's right, folks. Every evening, Monday through Friday, on this CBS station. Thank you and good night.
See you tomorrow night on the Music Hall.
Be sure to be with us at this same time next Sunday for the Amos and Andy Show, transcribed and directed by Cliff Howell. Now, stay tuned for Our Miss Brooks, which follows immediately over most of these same stations.